What is my next challenge in daring to be human?
How do I connect with life?
How can I let go of my need for fixed answers in favor of aliveness?
How do I live free from the experiences that shaped me?
How can we be the change the world needs right now?
Join us weekly for stony conversations about life.
It is our mission to allow life itself to reveal to us the answers. Welcome to Chasing Thoughts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chasing Thoughts. Today, we're going to talk about being in the flow and also being structured and what the F that looks like. And I just want to remind everybody that in this show, we do not have the answers. I came here today and, you know, we talked about topic yesterday. And so I kind of, it's been rolling around in my mind and I don't know the answer. It's something I'm struggling with. And then I smoked some weed and meditated before the show, and I really don't feel like I know anything. So it's a perfect place to start the exploration.
Yeah.
That wisdom come up when you don't already know the answer.
I was doing the same thing. I was just sitting out on my back step smoking and thinking about that. And it just like hit me like, here's another paradox.
Yeah.
You know, like both are true at the same time. Like we need to live in that flow of things, live intuitively, but we also need structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't think there is an answer to it. I think it's kind of flowing in and out of it as you have to.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
I think it also might be more difficult when you come to a place in your life where you're providing all your own structure. Because a lot of my life, my roles dictated my structure. I had jobs where I had to show up the hours they told me to. I had a kid, he needed to get to school at a certain time. I needed to do this, right? And I'm finally at this time in my life where I'm building my own business. I'm building my own brand. I'm doing it all myself. And I can work whatever structure I want. I don't have to go. I could stay home for a week and not talk to anybody. That's fine. I could go out every night, right? Like I can do whatever I want. And while that freedom is beautiful, it invites this challenge for me of building that structure to succeed and reach my goals.
That is such an amazing point. And it perfectly highlights everything that I've been feeling since starting this whole thing.
Right, because same for you, right? You used to have a closed structure, which was different.
And as you were saying that, like the thought that popped into my head was, I've never had this much freedom to impose my own structure. You know, so we're born, you know, with the whole philosophy, tabula rasa, blank slate, but we're immediately, well, even before we're born, we're experiencing things, you know, inside the womb, you know, that is affecting us. And then when we're born, we're immediately learning and experiencing stuff from our parents. You know, so this is the first time where without anything, I have the cognitive ability to question who I am, which I couldn't when I was born, but I can make it myself. And it's like standing over a void. You're not falling, but there's nothing that you see holding yourself there. And it's just this feeling of pure terror.
Yeah. And I also have this thing going on where it's like I feel like I need permission. Like, oh, you want to work at 10 p.m.? Well, that's not normal. Or, oh, you want to take this break or do... I think of things that out of the box that would be unique fit for me. And then there's this sense of like, I'm not allowed to do that. And it's so interesting to me as I've seen that come up over and over again. Like, what is that voice that's telling me I'm not allowed to do something when I'm literally allowed to do it? Like, where's that coming from? It's interesting to me.
Yeah. I am so sick of that feeling of having to fit in, you know, not wanting to stand out in any way. And I think it's natural. And I think that's one of the things PTSD does bring to people is like, like that need to an unhealthy way.
Yes.
You know, I mean, even like most of my clothes are black, and that's because I don't want any color because color will attract attention.
Yeah.
You know, like the dome light on my car is off. So at night when I open the door, it does, the light doesn't attract attention. And
Yeah.
it's, I'm so tired of that.
And that's energy spent, right? Of you being aware of your environment and doing certain things. And the more that we do that, the less energy we have for real creative stuff or our brilliance, right? The more that I worry about what people think of me, the less energy I have for something else.
I almost wonder too, like, do you think that the energy that's spent in the creative process, we can get more output for the energy we put into it? Whereas the energy that is spent, because like trying to fit in, not wanting to stand out, that's all survival, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're in that fight or flight response. And is it, are we expending more energy to keep ourselves safe in a in an environment where we don't have to? You know, the
Yes.
threat is psychological and not real.
Yes. I think that is very true. And I honestly can't even imagine if I felt safe in my environment all the time. And I mean, like, safe of being able to show up. Right, be judged, not care, let people live their own story. I imagine I'd have a lot more energy because a lot of my energy goes to that. Even if I am consciously trying to choose something else or not listening to those thoughts, keeping up a wall against those thoughts or like even having them there is a drain.
Having just to defend yourself against those thoughts.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's how I see it. And sometimes I even tell my husband, like, I'm not able to defend against those thoughts right now. Like, if something happens, I'm going to be spiky. We're going to fight easily. I'm struggling. Because when you can't defend yourself from those thoughts, that's when you get in big fights. That's when you spiral down. But it just happens sometimes.
And you know that is the worst part of like all that anxiety to be in, where you feel like you can't escape from it. You know, they did studies after 9/11 with kids that were in school around those the buildings. And when the planes hit, the teachers like got them all together and then began to like run them down the street. And they found less instances of PTSD in these kids because they were active in their own in protecting themselves.
Interesting.
And then when we're in those situations where like in during the Holocaust, Viktor Frankl writes about the worst mental sort of trauma that they faced was not having an end to their imprisonment. So it was just open-ended thing, and so there's a hopelessness that seeps in that you're then trying to fight as well as the situation that you're in.
Yeah, it's interesting how our whole life is in this physical world, but also in this mental world of stories that we're telling ourselves as we traverse this landscape of humanity, you're right, of being human.
Yeah.
It's
That's why
fascinating.
I'm becoming like addicted to the idea of stories, because I think it that that's I mean we're the narrators in our own story. You know, like what was that movie, Stand By Me, you know, like where they narrate, or like the Wonder Years, where they narrate like that. I mean, that's basically what we're doing. You know,
Yeah.
we're living a character and we're narrating our own story, which means we can make it up. But first we have to kind of learn how to block out the white noise, which is the societal ideas and the parental ideas and the teachers and the religion and all that stuff, and choose a story that we want to tell.
Yeah. So you have to have awareness that you have that control. Right, because a lot of us go our lives or much of our lives thinking that our stories and our thoughts are just who we are.
But
Yeah. making that separation, be able to see the pieces, that's where really I think that's where the juiciness starts.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I learned that had a huge pivotal moment for me was that we're the observer of our thoughts, so then therefore we're not our thoughts, we're something else. And then just starting to learn how to connect with that higher level consciousness, like that was so pivotal for me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that like being able to watch myself be anxious versus being anxious, right? To be like, okay, here I am. I'm going into my patterns of high anxiety. If I don't take care of myself, I'm gonna like break down crying. But I'm watching myself and I'm not lost in it. And so I can take
Yes.
care of myself. Because I'm like, okay, Mindy, here we go. We need to go do this now, right? Oh, someone said something and you feel defensive. Okay, we're gonna take a deep breath, Mindy, right? And it's like I'm coaching my own self on how to live with this
Yeah.
thing that I have, this consciousness.
Yeah, and that's the key. You know,
Yeah.
that's what allows us to live responding to what is going on instead of reacting to what's going on.
Yeah.
Like for the things that are truly dangerous, like that reactive brain is, it's going to do what it does. It's going to take over and it's going to react, you know,
Yeah.
but being able to stay and recognize that somebody just pissing you off for whatever reason is not actually a threat. You know, like in fact, a couple minutes ago before we jumped on, I was looking at my YouTube stuff because I got a new comment, and I was like, "Oh, I wonder what they said and stuff." And I looked, and it was this thing where I was just talking about, I love ancient artifacts. Like, there's just some type of energy that I almost like can feel, you know, being close to them and everything. Like thinking that somebody 3,000 years ago touched something. It was lost to time, and then I'm digging it out of the earth. You know, that is, oh my God, incredible. And so I was talking about that, and this dude responding goes, "Stop yapping." So at first, like, I get like pissed, you know, and then I just started laughing. I'm like, "That is kind of funny. Stop yapping. I haven't heard that in a while," you
Yeah.
know, and. He, this dude's comment in no way is a threat to me unless I allow it in. Like a freaking vampire, you got to invite him in, man, right? If I invite those things in.
And really, he told you something about him. He's not into storytelling, or he's uncomfortable with somebody sharing their passion, or right? Like he showed you something about him that has nothing to do with you based on his judgment. It's not even about you, really.
Yeah, you know, like because then in my thoughts, and I'm just making all these assumptions about him, you know, this is somebody that is not connected to wonder in life, you know, to passion, you know, and that makes me sad for him, you know, when it comes down to it.
Yeah, and maybe it's true or maybe it's not true, but that story in your head makes you a more compassionate person and it makes you feel safe in your own space and body. So that's a wise belief system to have.
Yeah. And dude, that's just like the lock and key for everything. It doesn't matter if the story is true or not. What matters is what the story does for me, because if the story makes me go into not being angry, not losing and just wasting my energy and all these negative emotions, but it pushes me into a more positive place that is bringing more energy into me, like just bringing life into me, that is the purpose of the story, not to be true or false,
Right.
but to either bring life into me or deplete life from me, you know, and I mean like the energy of life.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I am surprised I play with this sometimes. So Everybody knows that situation where you're walking into a party or a room or a conference, and your thoughts are saying things like, nobody's going to like me here. I'm the stupidest one in the room. Like, I look ugly. I look fat in this dress. Like, whatever the narrative is. And just as an experiment, flip it completely. And I know it feels like lying to yourself, but be like, everybody here loves me. I'm going to be the most popular person in this room. I'm the best dressed person here. Because, like we said, neither of them are true. Neither one of those extremes. So you might as well tell yourself the extreme. Like, if you're going to lie to yourself anyways, lie to yourself over here, because at least it fucking feels good.
Right?
Like, it doesn't matter if it's true, right? What you tell yourself is going to impact how you show up and how you feel, period.
Dude, I love that. If you're going to lie to yourself anyways, like, just might as well make it a good one.
Right. You know, because you're not the biggest piece of shit either. That your brain is also telling you that lie, right?
Right, so, right.
Lie to yourself the other direction.
That's freaking awesome.
Oh,
dude.
Man.
Dude, you know what I was thinking of too when thinking about like talking about this today was, so back during my church days, especially like growing up when I was a teenager, everybody wanted to be a preacher. Like all the guys wanted to be a preacher. And of course, since girls can't, they wanted to be pastors' wives or missionary wives or whatever. And, but then I would hear all the preachers come in saying how important it is to have the people in the seats, you know, the people at the power plants, the machinists, and they talk about how important that is. But then the rest of the time, it's just all about how called and blessed and amazing and righteous the preacher is. Mm-hmm. So they almost build like this romantic version of this occupation. And of course, everybody wants to get into it.
Yeah.
And then when you're like told like, nope, it's not for you. Like, why do I have to be less than?
Yeah.
You know, so what it reminded me of was like, we're in a good place, like, because we get to do this, you know, especially me. I get how blessed I am because I have my retirement, which brings in money, which allows me to do this. And then Sandy just pushing me forward with this, you know, like we could tighten our belts. We won't have to do it much, you know, but we could tighten our belts for a little bit until things start rolling. So it's hard for me then to tell somebody that's working the 9 to 5 or not only the 9 to 5, but then all the overtime to pay the bills.
Yeah.
You know, break out of the matrix and stuff. Like, well, you can't survive.
Yeah. I have two thoughts on that. First, I agree with you, and I feel incredibly privileged. The life I live is amazing. But one thing I've been trying to take more ownership of in my life is the hard work I did to get here. Mm. And so while I hear what you're saying, if anybody knows my story, right, I grew up on food stamps. I grew up living in and out of my car with my mom and my sister, right? Huge poverty. I struggled through trying to change my mind. And as I changed my mind and grew and grew and grew, I stopped choosing abusive men. I stopped choosing dead-end jobs. So yes, it's a privilege to do this work, and the amount of time I can dedicate to this work is more now. I have been doing this work since I was a teenager. Like, that is what gets you out of your circumstances, is learning how to change your mind in whatever capacity you have, 5 minutes a week, right? Maybe then it's 10 minutes a week.
Yeah.
But you don't change your life without changing who you are on the inside. You just, I don't think you can. And so I think that there is, you know, I think that what we talk about is available and valuable for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think what I struggle with is, and kind of like talking about being in the flow or the structure, when someone's in that sort of box of existence where they have all of that structure controlling them, like to the point where our identities are formed by what we do.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like just that whole idea of like when we meet somebody new, that's one of the first questions you ask, like, well, what do you do? Yes. And then based off of that, we judge them, you know, if they're a banker in an office, you know, like, or something, like we're going to see them as more of a trustworthy person. And so how do they start detaching their identity from all of that structure where they can enjoy sort of like their own life, but like that's a smaller part where not like it's opposite right now. Like that structure is the majority of their life. And then a little small part, which is made up of all these routine things because you're living around this timetable.
Yeah. I think I can say this. When I look back on the things I did to grow as a human, I think the number one thing was loving myself more, like more actively, giving myself what I need, understanding myself, talking kindly to myself, or even, you know, making time saying, I'm not going to take my kid and sign him up for this sport because I need afternoons at home by myself. Well, right. Making choices that honor your needs, because the more that of you that you can gather to you, the bigger the foundation you're building for going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like where if you're giving everything, I mean, just to your kids, which is so easy to do.
And it's praised in our culture, right? You're the perfect mom if you leave nothing for yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then you're depleted, and then you can't be there 100% for them while you're with them, you know, but then taking that time for yourself sounds selfish, but yes, it does allow you to show up 100%.
Yes. And that will change your life in ways you can't imagine. Because in the moment, you'll respond to things differently. You'll start thinking differently when you're coming from a well-cared for place. And you don't even understand what that's going to be like right now. But it's going to help you get where you want to go. That's what I feel like it's like when you're in that spot. You just have to trust that taking care of yourself is the answer.
So it's not about necessarily breaking out of that structure, but it's about turning inward while you're in it. Cause that while you're in it, that's going to be where things begin to change. Like you change with how you're seeing yourself, how you feel about yourself, which is going to affect how you feel about what you're doing, you know? And I think it's completely possible to be like working a 9-to-5 or whatever, and still enjoy everything, every aspect of your life.
Yep.
Because you are the identity instead of the occupation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about flow and structure, because I would like a little bit of something to move forward since I'm struggling with it. I want to dig into it more. I know in the beginning you're like, I think you just need to go back and forth. I'm like, I've been trying that. That's not working. So yeah, I just wanted to, like, when are you offering yourself any structure? What structures are you offering yourself? Or when you think about, for me, it's thinking about the fall, because my summer is crazy. I have backpacking trips, people staying with us. Obviously nothing's going to happen. Never set up a new goal when shit like that's about to happen. Right. For you. You're not going to succeed. So come September, you know, what do I want my work days to look like? What, because for me, I have recognized one thing with structure, I get more of what I want done, even if I blow off the structure 50% of the time, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm not shooting for 100% of the time. I have to be fierce with myself. If someone calls and wants to do something, I have to say no. I want flexibility within it, but I've learned that having it, I still hit more of my, I still work out more. I still meditate more. I still show up and get more projects done on my business. And so I want something like that, but I'm curious for you, do you set up that much structure? Like Monday through Friday is going to look like this, or
I tried doing that. I read something on like time blocking and stuff, and I was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna do this. And this is gonna be the answer. I'm gonna just start, being a overnight success because I finally got this organization down. And then like the first day, just like, I mean, within the first hour, it was like the whole day was just off.
yeah.
So what I learned to do is I structure out like a month. So I'll look at August coming up. I want to do 3 hours of my classes a week to go up to the higher coaching certification levels.
Yeah.
So that in a month is 15 hours, right? And I'd like to do that like Monday, knock that out, right? And get 3 hours of classes done, couple of smoke breaks in between, and nice, easy day where I'm learning, making tons of videos while I'm doing it. Then I have the book project I'm working on, and then everything else is just like the videos and like maintenance stuff, like I want to start working on merch, whatever. So I have that structure, and I think about what I want to get done for the week, so like 3 hours of classes, and I'm going to do it on Monday. But then Monday comes up, and it's a perfect day for a hike, and I can go in the woods and bring my OnlyFans set up and record some content, and I just do that for 4 hours. I just go in the woods and just smoke and talk into the camera, for 4 hours, completely alone.
Yeah.
One of these days I'm hoping like there's deer running around in the background and stuff, but and then I'll keep in mind I got it. I need to do these 3 hours. But now, like content wise, I'm good. All I have to do is just edit that stuff, and then start throwing it up. So I can now say, okay, well, Tuesday I'm going to do that 3 hours. And that's what I meant by like moving in and out of structure, like moving into the flow and out of the structure. So the structure is there, almost like thinking about it as like two different dimensions. You know what I mean? Like when you get that intuitive pull into a place, you go into the flow of that and see where that takes you. But then it when you need to, you move back into this other dimension of the structure and be like, okay, well, I put this off today, so today I'm going to knock this out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of listening to that voice inside, that intuitive voice inside it, of telling you when you need to be in it and when you need to venture from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about adding some more intentional space into sort of, what I want to get done in a week or a month. And that is a creative space where, so you have you heard of the book The Artist's Way? I mentioned it before. One of the things that it says is you wake up every morning and you write longhand 3 pages. And it doesn't matter what you write. I hate doing this assignment. I can't think of anything to say. Or you write real things. But the practice of showing up for yourself every single morning and dumping your brain eventually has these really good results for people. And I can understand that. That makes sense to me. Like building the space for something. Oftentimes when I don't have any clients or I've lost some clients, I'll create fake files, empty files. I'll buy them new notebooks because I take and I create the empty space for new clients to come. And so, with some of my creativity, I'm asking myself, how can I set up a space where I show up every day for, or not every day, once a week for an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, and let is it right? Let myself create something. Because right now, creating something and creating something new, I'm not talking about just like, oh, I have this list of 10 videos I need to make, but just writing, doing art, like showing up for myself in that way, because my creativity and my artistry is something that I want to grow. It's something I'm kind of afraid of, to be honest. and have like a lot of weird shame stories about. So I'm asking myself how to invite more of that person to come be with me.
I'm so hesitant to say it because I know like when it's my turn to do it, I'm gonna be like, yeah, screw that. But I've been able to do it a couple of times outside of my family. My family, I can just do it. But it's forgetting yourself and just letting what comes out. You know,
Do you
like
take a time to do that though? Do you say like I spend this much time and this energy in a week? Is it a goal, or do you just go in and out of that as well?
Yeah, I just go in and out of that, but I think I need to make it a goal to spend a certain amount of time in that energy because it's very hard to do, like for me, especially somebody that doesn't want to be seen, because then what that means is you are, you know, everybody says like I want to be a light, but like if I don't want to be seen, I don't want to be a light. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to shine, I don't want to glow, I don't want to just be. I have a video on my phone. My brother was at a family function. He was like making a little take-home tray of some dessert that somebody made, and his wife had scooped. It was a Tupperware thing with two divisions in it, and she scooped the first one, put the lid on. So my brother's like, "What the heck?" And my mom, she's like, "Oh, that's not enough." And I call him Baby Jason because I, you know, I joke around that he's my parents' favorite. So I'm like, oh yeah, it's not enough for baby Jason. And then for like 5 minutes, he's or minutes exact, a couple minutes, he's just slopping more of this, I don't know, it was like some type of cream and strawberry thing or whatever, just slapping it into the Tupperware. And I'm just over his shoulder going, oh, baby Jason, oh yeah, it's so good. Like just I completely lose thought. You know what I mean? It's like when people meditate and they're like, I just went blank. That's what happens. And I'm just saying things. And people are crying. They're laughing so hard. You know, and I could do it easy with family because I feel comfortable, but I wanted to
That's what I was gonna say, is like that to me sounds like a byproduct of feeling really safe in yourself and in your space, and it's
yeah.
beautiful.
I never felt more confident than in those moments. You know, and I remember when doing this work, I was like, I need to start challenging my comfort zone. So my wife showed me this thing. It was like a coupon for three improv lessons. So I'm like, all right. She was like, dared me to do it. So I'm like, oh, I got it. I mean, it was a double dog dare, so you have to do it. And so I went and I had fun. So I signed up for like their little introductory class. And there was like one time that I got into it. And I don't know, something with a robot. It's gonna sound stupid like to like tell you about, but and the robot was supposed to be broken and stuff, and everybody's looking at this part, and then I just start hauling ass around the room like I'm an out of control robot and just being like, what the fuck, please help, you know? And like everything stopped, and I felt completely in control. I felt powerful, you
I think
know?
that's the flow at its greatest, right?
Yes, dude. Oh my God, yes. Yeah, because all the judgment that I put on myself, all the characters that I'm trying to play are gone, and I'm just being.
Would you say that you felt safe in your family for most of your life? Like, did you grow up feeling wanted and cared for, and like people had your back?
I would say yes and no. You know, like I got lucky with my family, you know. Whatever we needed, like my parents would figure out. You know, my dad, when I was born, was working three jobs. Then he got a job at a power plant as a janitor, scrubbing toilets. And when he retired, he was running the operation center by himself for the entire, you know, keeping all of Connecticut with power. So he worked his ass off for his entire life. Me and my brother used to fight, but it was like the 80s, so it was different. You know, like I went after my brother once with a knife because I had like gone nuts and like cops weren't called. I didn't get arrested or anything. It was just like, you know, my dad took care of it. And that was the last time I went after him with a knife, you know, but, and then there's all, you know, our families have their own issues.
Yeah.
So you can start to see what those are and to see where things were lacking or whatever. So, and then just the whole thing with church, like I never felt comfortable. I never felt like I belonged. I never felt safe. There wasn't one day in church that I was not afraid of dying and going to hell. And like, why don't I feel saved? You know, all this, like we always were taught like, once saved, always saved. That was the type of Baptist we are or were. And I would get saved like thousands of times a year because I'd be like, oh, that's my problem. That's why I'm feeling this way because I'm not really saved. So now I'm going to get saved. And I would say the same prayer. And then like 3 weeks later, I'm like, okay, I'm not saved anymore. Like, what the hell's going on? I would even question like, is it impossible for me to get saved? But I know that like, that's against the Bible, except that like the Antichrist, he's not going to get saved. So I'm like, maybe I'm the Antichrist.
Yeah.
You know, so in that way, I had a very scary internal world that when I was a teenager, man, I was freaking depressed. It was horrible. I even had one, my brother.
Was it because you were wrestling inside with like, the truths of this, or like it wasn't resonating with your soul, and so you could feel all that inner conflict and it caused a lot of depression?
Yeah, I was, yeah, it was, I didn't feel real in anything, you know, like when I did the church things, I felt fake.
Mm-hmm.
I felt absolutely fake.
Right. So you couldn't find yourself. You didn't know where you were because everything was kind of, all your roles weren't really authentic.
Right. Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. And then that just turned to just pure anger in my life. And I would do just stupid things. Not necessarily for people to see me as like the crazy dude, but just because of the rush I got from it. Yeah. You know, like surfing on top of a car going down like 40 miles an hour down the street. And like when they were slowing down, like maybe 20, but jumping off into the grass on the side of the road, holding on to my buddy's car. I'm on my 10 speed and he's going 50, you know, and the bike is shaking and stuff. And I started getting that reputation, you know, of like.
Right. Sort of a hellion, thrill seeker.
Yeah. But I wasn't, it was just doing it because I felt like I almost had to feel more to feel anything.
Yeah.
Because I felt so empty.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Yeah, it's interesting when I talk to people who come from big families, and I just want to sort of represent the other side. I grew up with my mom and my sister primarily. My mom was not reliable or trustworthy. So I grew up with one person I felt that level of safety with. And then not until my current husband, right, do I feel that safety. But when I look at people who have families and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, and they're all close and connected, I always think, you don't understand the ways in which that's impacting you. Because I think people like me, or people who are orphans, or people who go through abandonment, like the experience of the world thinking you have one person or zero people or two is a lot different than the experience of the world of thinking, I've got 15 people that have my back. So I just wanted to like mention how much gratitude people with family should have for family, because coming from a side where your family is really broken makes it hard to live life. It makes it hard to feel safe in the world.
Yeah. And things that I took for granted, Or I'll look at the negative side. So growing up, it was me, my brother, my cousin Steve, my cousin Ann. My cousin Ann, she was the oldest of everybody. So she used to like play with us for a while, but then, kind of started going her own way. And but my cousin Steve, my brother and me were always together, and I was a dude that was going to get picked on. So, but we used to play like Spider-Man in the Volcano, where we would fall down the stairs at my cousin's house, and then we would have to rescue each other, and we would just take turns being in the hanging on in the volcano. Then, as we got older, my brother, my cousin created a game called Vulcan Wars, which I don't know where the name came from, but apparently the rules of the game are put on these karate pads that are just like foam that barely, like, it's like that thick, does anything, and just beat the crap out of Keith. Like, that's apparently the whole game. That was Vulcan Wars. And even my brother once, he's evil, man. Like psychopath evil. So he would come out Saturday morning. I'm watching Three Stooges, and I get in the zone when the Stooges are on. Like, I can't be disturbed. So he comes in the living room, and he's like, "Here, grab this knife." It was just a butter knife, and I'm like, "No, you're gonna try to cut me or something." He's like, "No, I'm not gonna do anything." So I grab the knife, and he walks away. 2 minutes later, comes back in, grab the knife. So I grab the knife. He walks away. He does that like five times. Right, gets to the point like where he comes in. I'm not even listening to the question. He just comes in, holds a knife out. I grab it. He walks away. What I didn't know was, like, on the sixth time, we had a gas stove, and so we lit the burner, put the knife in there till it got red hot, and was like, okay. He thought to himself, like, I can't tell him to touch it because he'll see how it's red. So he puts it under the water for like a second just to like dull the color. Comes out, holds out the knife. And I touch it, and I just start screaming, and I pull my hand, and like my thumb and my finger skin is like connected to the knife. Oh, he got my dad. I thought I was gonna kill him. But today we look at that and we crack up and laugh, and we're close. And even my cousin Steve, he lives down in North Carolina, but when he's up, we hang out, we talk, I mean, not as close as we once were, just because life has brought us far apart, but yeah, we're all close, and we all still love each other and all that. It is.
We've known each other for so long. Like, I think that's the beauty of it, is you have people in your life who know your story. And they
Yeah.
knew you when you were 8, and they knew you when you were 18, and they, like, that is a real beautiful relationship.
Yeah. Even to this day, whenever I see them, they start yelling at me about, "Oh, my scar," right? So when I was like 12, I had my appendix taken out. And for like a long time after, like, that hurt. I mean, they cut through the muscle, all that stuff. And so like 2 months later, we're like messing around, or they're just beating on me or whatever. And I would say, like, "Oh, my scar," because it's hurting that. And they just thought I was the biggest baby. And they were so, and they've turned this story into like 10 years later, they
Right,
look at me cross-eyed. I'm like, "Oh, my scar." So it's like a big family joke now. Yeah. So yeah, they know all that stuff. We all know all that stuff about us,
yeah.
all the embarrassing things that we will never let each other live down.
Yeah. Yeah, I've mentioned it before, but I don't think I've gone into depth about it. That level of family is one of my goals for my next 10, 20 years, right? Like, my dad moved here, my sister moved here. I'm forming relationships, trying to get the rest of the people connected who are, the good people in the various families that have been there throughout the years. And just because I think everybody needs that, and everybody needs more like love and connection. And I think it would be a service to my family But I also am really scared of being rejected or annoying or whatever word or judgment I have of myself or going to people like, come on, no, share a family calendar. We want to know what's going on with you. Like, oh no, let's all do a family Zoom. And like being the one to encourage that, I would love to take that role. And I'm also really scared to take that role in my family.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. That's because it's like what we were talking about before, like that balance between what is overstepping, not wanting to overstep, and then you don't know how somebody else is going to take it, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, and that just comes down to like just trusting.
But if it's my vision for my life and my family, I have the right to advocate for my desires and push that into the world. And if other people don't like it or it's uncomfortable, that's their story, right? But
Yeah.
it's something that I'm sure you'll hear more about as the show goes on. And because it is a part of my journey that I'd like to move forward in, and I'm scared about.
Because that, I mean, in something like that, if somebody doesn't want to be at that level, there's going to be a feeling of rejection. There's going to be a grief to go through, like all of that stuff. And that comes down to like those base fears that we have that we're not enough and we won't be loved.
I think for me, it will take that bigger place of seeing where if somebody says like I'm too busy for this, I don't want this level of connection. It's like, oh, okay, that's fine. I see your life story and it's okay. And if some people say yes, it's my job to take the actions that my heart wants me to take.
Yeah. And I think that's such a great example too of being structured and in that flow. So having the structure of following your heart, what the vision of the life that you want, but also being in the flow of accepting, no matter how hard it will be, what somebody else's beliefs or wishes are for themselves.
Accepting that ultimately I have no control over what the end picture looks like, but that can't change my level of enthusiasm for seeking out an experience I want.
Yeah. And even with that same level of enthusiasm, it doesn't mean that there'll be days that you don't feel the pain or the anxiety of what's coming or if somebody doesn't want to be a part of it. It's accepting that that's going to be a part of it. And that's one of the things I'm really starting to see is that we have been taught that the negative side of our emotional spectrum is wrong. And it's not, it's not something to be afraid of. And it doesn't mean that it's good to go through. It doesn't mean it feels good. It's supposed to feel bad. But we're going to choose what world we live in. Are we going to live on the positive side? And that doesn't mean like the rainbows and unicorns everywhere, like, oh, it's just in a car accident, or Sandy's now a paraplegic, and be like, well, looking on the bright side, she won't be as active, like whatever. It's just dealing with it and feeling what you're gonna feel, but moving through that.
And I feel like when your heart gives you a desire, like everybody's probably got a handful of them, like those really deep ones that you don't even want to tell anybody because it's like so precious to you what you want to be. When your heart gives you that desire, the path to that desire is, I don't know, 50% challenges, 50% love, like more increased joy. Like you need to be carved out into the person that is creating that and calling that into your life. So like with this one, I think all the grief about people who don't want to participate, or maybe a past truth I have to face about my relationship with someone, all the negative feelings are going to be the ones carving me out so that I can accept more of this love and more of the connection and more of everything I want. Like they're working together for me. Right. And I think that's how we have to see sort of personal growth is it's challenging. Like the challenges are part of it. So if you're on the journey, you have to start to like the challenges and have some relationship with them, right? And not let them stop you. Realize how necessary they are.
Yeah. And that's an understanding I think we have to get to is because everybody says do the work, you know, and it's like become cliche. Okay, but what the hell is the work?
Totally. Like every time I hear that, I think that like, that's yeah. not, people don't know what the work is.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a person that like always says like, take action steps, you right. know, like, so like whatever you say, like, oh, I want to go to school. Oh, that's great. Now take some action. Like what the hell are action steps?
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like what steps? Like, but with, for me, like I'm starting to see like that work is not number one. Awareness is I think the biggest thing to celebrate, because when you become aware, what that first time that you see that habit, that pattern, whether it's, you know, behavioral, whatever it is, that a belief system that is not good for you, becoming aware of it is the greatest thing, because now you can start doing the work, you know, and it's just, I think, challenging those thoughts. So like when the thoughts come up, and there's sometimes thoughts come into my brain that are so overwhelming, I can't shut them off.
Yep.
Those intrusive thoughts. But most of them, nine times out of 10, it's just focusing on something else, not fighting against those thoughts, focusing on something else. You know, like when I worked on my anger, I didn't go out and practice being, you know, peaceful. Well, I mean, yeah, I did, but I had to get pissed.
Right.
You know, so I was challenging myself in that anger instead of working on being like at peace or calm when I'm already calm. It's really easy to do that.
Yes.
You know? And that's the work. It's those microscopic steps that we take, building new pathways in our brain so that a different behavior begin to emerge.
And welcoming the discomfort or challenge that is part of that process, right? Like you said, I had to be in an angry situation. It had to be carving you out for the peace to arise. They work together. And so I think that's where it comes in, is being more interested in knowing who you are and like your growth. And that curiosity can drive you.
Yeah. And it's not going to be this like uphill line of growth and progress. It is going to be up a couple of steps, a major crash, like even lower, back up a little bit, a major crash, you know, and then it just, the waves get smaller and smaller until you start to, you know, barely, they're still all going to be there, but it's like that very easy, slow, very calm ocean movement, you know? Yeah, it's, the work is almost like invisible. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I think there's like a bigger mystery of it, because the woman I am today, I never could have even imagined this person. I didn't know this person. And I'm so surprised as I allow myself to be myself and then witness myself to get to know myself, right? Who I'm becoming. And I think the woman I'm going to be in 10 years, I can't even imagine her, right? I just do keep doing this work in the moment, and something so incredible is going to bloom. And that to me always makes me feel a little bit more like safety about the process and the work in the future is, I don't know, but man, it sure has gotten better and better and better the more that I've done this work and known who I am and loved myself and the more connected I live.
Yeah. It's the thing, man. Like, and I'm not saying life can't get hard, but we don't need a safety net.
Yeah.
You know, like even like when I was talking about like standing over a void where you don't see what you're standing on, and you know, the void is an illusion.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever you want to call it, God, consciousness, the universe, like whatever it is, like something out there's got us, you know, and it doesn't, because we're part of something so much bigger. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen in life, but it just means that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. I think that's such a beautiful place to end. Everything's gonna be okay. That was perfect, Keith. It's like it's just been an hour.
Oh,
You
nice,
have
nice.
me. I love it. Yeah, I loved that discussion. Thank you. That was a
Yeah, that
good.
was cool.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are so grateful for all of our listeners. Please support us in doing what we love. It's as simple as hitting that like or subscribe button. It would really mean a lot to us. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week.